If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. It happens to be the 24th of June, 2009. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. Let's talk a little bit about the Second Amendment. Second Amendment is part of an entire form known as the Constitution of the United States. It's actually specifically the portion of the Constitution known as the Bill of Rights. That would be the first 10 amendments ever established as part of the Constitution. Those are inalienable rights, meaning they cannot be stripped, taken away, anything such as that. They also have some common sense within some reason. Now, keep in mind, those rights are listed, but they're not the only rights you've got. It's just kind of a general preview, if you will. Some of the more important things they wanted to make absolutely certain didn't need to have any sort of interpretation added into them. Now, again, there are some different things in there, such as the whole idea of freedom of speech. You cannot just stand up and incite some form of riot or something that would injure someone. Of course, we always hear about the example of you can't stand up in the middle of a crowded theater and yell fire if there isn't one. People could panic and get trampled and cause injury. So that limit, it's like, look, let's have freedom of speech, but there's some very far outside fringe portions of this freedom of speech that we've got to let you understand. I mean, you just can't go doing things that are going to harm people. And I said before, and like I've said before, I will say it again, when it comes to things such as religion, where religion professes violence and death, that to me is even stronger than the stand in a theater and shout fire provision of the First Amendment, something that you can't do, something you can get in trouble for. The Muslim faith says you invite the infidel. Now, an infidel is essentially anybody who's not Muslim. You invite infidels to become part of the religion. If they will not do it by invitation, then you will force them. If you can't do it by force, then kill them. So that then goes so far as to say everybody needs to be Muslim or kill them. To me, that is far beyond the reaches of the First Amendment rights to practice that religion in this country. Now, there's been referendums through all sorts of different, modernizations of all different types of religion. In Christianity, we had the Old Testament, then we ended up with the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament was all about crusades and going out and killing people in the name of God. Very similar to what the Quran speaks. But then we ended up with the New Testament. It speaks a little bit more about, you know, using your head a little bit and not having to go all the way through the Crusades and trying to recruit people. The Muslim religion has not done that. Islam has not done that. And until they do that, it's my opinion that a religion that preaches that you either invite people and they come, or you force people to come, or you kill them because they refuse both invitation and force, shouldn't be practiced in this country. And if it's not just specifically to Islam, it's any religion that preaches such a way. Those are my thoughts. This is Bill Carnes, your host. Stay tuned through the break.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam's out here to shoot me.
So as you listen to this show and others on RBN, you listen to different people, maybe Glenn Beck or the Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity, you learn that essentially America and Americans are being more and more compacted in our activities. Even our thought processes are trying to be manipulated by our government. It is a tyrannical government. It is to the point where they're trying to regulate thought, regulate free speech, regulate rights of people who want to own firearms, just inalienable rights that they are alienating. And essentially piecing together what is, in all rights and reasons, a form of slavery in the United States that the federal government can dictate to. And the only way out of that slavery is to become a member of the party. Now, in Germany, if you became a member of the Nazi Party during the World War II era and building up to it, you were somewhat exempt from all of this. I guess slavery is really the word to use within Germany. You had to abdicate your personal beliefs and become a wrap yourself around the ideals of the Nazi Party to actually have some semblance of freedom. Back in 1917, when they took over Russia and it became the Soviet Union, you had the same thing. If you became a member of the Communist Party, you could then exercise a little bit more freedom if you were to dedicate yourself to the Communist Party. You can see where I'm going with this. Now, if you align yourself with the Democratic Party and you become involved with the Democrats and you get some job within the government, you then aren't going to be nearly as scrutinized as everyone else, because everyone else is referred to as a right-wing extremist. Not just someone who has constitutional beliefs, but they've come up with this new buzz term, right-wing extremist. I have a little bit to play for you. It's about 6 minutes long, called Slavery in America. Turn up your speakers. It's good information.
I'm here to talk to you about the problem of slavery. It didn't end in the 1860s. It's a social malady that's with us today, and it's increasing in its scope and virulence. The desire to enslave our fellow man is unfortunately intrinsic to the human character. It has been with us since the beginning of time on every continent and in virtually every culture, from ancient Egypt to Babylon to Greece and Rome, Africa, Asia, Europe, and the United States. Germany and Japan openly practiced widespread slavery only 50 years ago, and the Soviet Union until less than a decade ago, China even today. It's a disease of our human nature, and yet people are under the impression that it no longer exists. I say to you that in a subtle form, it exists in America today, and it's becoming less subtle and more manifest. Madison Avenue has just cleaned it up a little bit, dressed it up in new words. The slave master is now a big brother, someone to protect you, someone to confide in. But it's all the same. He owns your life. This may sound far-fetched, but I think I can prove it. When the IRS allows you a tax deduction, they and their congressional collaborators and the media call it a tax subsidy. In other words, they designate it as a gift to you, a subsidy. The only way they could conceive this terminology is by presupposing that they, i.e. the government, own all the money. Their view is that they're entitled to it all. That which they allow you to keep is their compassionate and generous gift to you. How can this be? You create the money by your efforts, your sacrifice, your creativity, your risk-taking. So how can it belong to them? It's very simple. They own you. They own everything you produce, your money, your house, your thoughts and ideas, your children. If you go to a foreign country to work, you still have to pay the U.S. income tax. You could dig a hole in the middle of Siberia and they'd be entitled to a cut of your wages because in their minds, under their law, they own you. They create arcane and esoteric laws to criminalize you. You may try, but you can't obey them. You can't even understand them without a lot of professional help. You have to run around slavishly collecting little pieces of paper, receipts, 7 years of detailed financial records because you might be called on to give an account of yourself to the big boss man. And if you've made a mistake, he can take everything you have. He loves it that way. That's total power over you, slavery. I don't remember when we the people signed over ownership of ourselves. It just gradually happened by them taking more and more of our freedom. But here's the worst part. It's really only just begun. In this modern age, the information age, getting your money is not enough, even though money, don't let anyone deceive you, is the material source of your freedom. Now, however, they want your mind. If you deviate in your thinking, if you commit one of the 10,000 taboos, and they perceive your actions as a threat, they'll come out and kill you. It was the thought police who killed the children at Waco and Ruby Ridge. Neither David Koresh nor Randy Weaver, whatever things might be said about them, had ever mugged anyone, robbed a 7-Eleven, or committed forcible rape or murder. But they did have unorthodox views, and therefore it was necessary to round them up and deal with them. Whatever their crimes were, they could have been arrested and tried openly in a court of law. But that was not the aim of certain factions in the government. These statists wanted a massive demonstration of force to show who was boss. The penalty for resisting is death. After all, we're not free. We belong to the government, and deviant thoughts will not be tolerated. In the aftermath of the horrible Oklahoma City bombing, government propagandists tried to intimidate the people into silence by recklessly linking criticism of the government to acts of murder. Some people ask, how can you fear your government and claim to love your country? Our response is, how can you love your country without fearing your government? Who else holds a counterfeit license to kill, incarcerate, and confiscate for non-crimes? Remember, America is about liberty first and last, not obedience to bureaucrats. The Washington power clique wants you to shut up, get in line, do what you're told to do, and most outrageously, think what you've been told to think. We have hundreds of politicians and thousands of lobbyists crawling all over Washington, thinking of ways to control you, to extend their will over you, to subvert your freedom and replace it with their will, to capture, that is, to steal, your life force. And so we should all be very angry, because anger is the engine that drives our will to resist. And without resistance, without awareness, they will take it all. That's not just politically perverse. It's a sin against mankind, because freedom is actually sacred. Drop an ant into a jar and seal the lid. It will spend the rest of its life trying to get out. It has nowhere to go, but it wants to be free. That is its nature. It's the way every living thing is made. Once, a long time ago, I saw something at the zoo, a wolf lying in its cage. I thought about how this magnificent animal was the end product of millions of years of evolutionary design. A nose that could detect the faintest scent, ultrasonic hearing, eyes that could see in the dark, teeth and jaws capable of crushing thick bone, heart and lungs that could run him for hours in a sub-zero blizzard. And yet there he was, lying forlorn and full of despair. He was well fed. He had a clean habitat and water and medical care. So what was the problem? He was sick with the knowledge that his wonderful powers would never be exercised again. And so he lay there, his head on his paws, staring blankly ahead at perhaps some imaginary forest that he could never reach because there were bars around him. They had not killed his body, but they were destroying his soul. God gave Adam and Eve freedom, even though he knew they would invite death into the world. That's how important freedom is in the divine scheme of things. And that's why we urge you to defend it, always.
I couldn't speak any better truths than that. I wish I remembered the name of the guy who just spoke that. I feel like a goof for having not had that bit of notation in front of me. However, that information about slavery in America is just, it's dead on, about as accurate as you can get. If we don't do all the little tiny things that the federal government, who's not supposed to have really anything to do with us, if we don't do what they say, they can, in fact, take anything and everything we've ever had or currently consider of value to us. Now, the federal government was supposed to be created simply to unite all of the states, and the states were to have the control of what happens. I shouldn't say the control of what happens in our lives, but they were supposed to be the governing body, and a very light body at that. But the state governing is really very, very minuscule compared to what's happening at the federal level. And as that guy just said, any little thing that we do against it, the government can decide that it's up to them to take you away, lock you up, take what you've got, control everything that you've got, remove your rights, whatever it may be. Now, I don't know what it might take. I know you can do a citizen's arrest, but I don't know if citizens can actually apply for an arrest warrant. I know that citizens can effect an arrest warrant. They cannot effect a search warrant. Only law enforcement can do that. But I know citizens can effect an arrest warrant. The thing is, can a citizen apply for an arrest warrant? Can they actually submit for one? Because, you know, Madeleine Albright could certainly be subject with one for crimes against humanity in Serbia. Janet Reno could certainly be subjected with one for crimes in Waco and at Ruby Ridge. And I'm just kind of curious if any of you might have some thoughts on how a private citizen could apply for a search warrant given enough documented information to show probable cause that a crime had been committed and that the accused had committed it. Let me know your thoughts. Either call me or shoot me an email to bill@2aradio.com. Stay tuned through the break. I'll be right back.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. You know, I checked 2A Radio's email, I think it was yesterday, and there was a bunch of them on there. So rather than sitting there and pounding out a bunch of responses, I'm just going to hit a few of them here. Fellow by the name of Pete sends me email on a regular basis, always very good emails. And he says, Bill, I know you've trained with firearms in many ways most of us can only dream of. Do you have any experience with compound bows / crossbows? The reason Pete brings this up is he points out he's got he knows that he's got different body armor, and a level 4 body armor with the plates and arrow, even with a broadhead, would not penetrate. But even something as high as a 3A without the plates, it goes right through. I need to explain to everyone something, that Kevlar does not stop sharp instruments. It stops blunt instruments like bullets, or at least is supposed to stop them. I call everything bullet resistant. Some way or another, you're going to find a bullet that's going to go through everything. But bullet resistant vests. What stops blades is a material called spectra. Now, spectra lining is something that'll resist cuts and punctures, not Kevlar. So if you think you're going to stop a knife attack, somebody who's jabbing a knife into you with Kevlar, you're sorely mistaken. It'll pierce right through like any other form of nylon. Spectra, on the other hand, that is what will stop bladed instruments, pointed instruments. And Pete brings this up because he says he wouldn't ever hear an arrow coming towards him. He would only know once that arrow hit the plate or went through the body armor. So he asks if I have any experience. No, I don't. Actually, I don't have any experience with compound bows or crossbows, with one exception. A friend of mine, a guy used to be a friend of mine. I haven't talked to him in years. Used to hunt with crossbows. I'm sorry, with a compound bow. And he had a 65-pound pull on this compound bow. He's a big Texas cowboy. I mean, just a bulky guy. He was a tradesman for a living. I think he was an electrician, just a good dude. And he's like, here, try this. So I tried pulling back on this 65-pound compound bow. And, I mean, it was all I could muster to do it. And then I'm shaking all over the place. There's no way. No, I'm not going to play that game. I put it down. I haven't ever touched one since. I understand it's a pretty cool thing to do. Heck, Ted Nugent does it. It's got to be cool, right? I mean, you do what cool people do. Anyhow, no, I have not. I've never fired a crossbow, but they do intrigue me because they've got sights and a trigger. So that it will go through body armor unless you've got plates, that kind of intrigues me if you're dealing with something where someone's wearing that and they're trying to inject tyranny upon you. However, you've got a one-shot deal. It would almost be like having a single-shot rifle where you got to crack it open, reload, and go again. So there's my kind of a tidbit on that. And Pete, thanks very much about that. Pete also mentions he's got a buddy who's kind of a know-it-all, and he convinced Pete to go to get rid of an AK-47 and get into the AR-15 platform, which is really the wrong way to go. Pete, I would, as I said in an email before, I would highly recommend you do your very best to get your 28-year-old engineering degree, know-it-all, been-there-done-that gun buddy to start listening to this show, because that's the type of person that really needs to hear some of the gospel that's coming out. The people that believe that they've trained up to a certain level and they no longer can have any reason to learn, they just feel that they've got everything under their hat and they're just going to speak what they know, tend to speak from a point of ignorance. So let's open them back up. Here's another one for a fellow by the name of Guy. He says, Bill, I just want to drop you a line, let you know I really enjoy your show. Thank you for your time and effort on behalf of the Second Amendment. In regards to your AR platform, may I suggest the Robinson XCR? I'm a foul smith, FNFAL, and have an obvious love for the for all things FNFAL. But since purchasing a Robinson XCR, I must admit to being very impressed with the function and durability of this rifle. I'm including a link to their website for your information. You can search the Robinson XCR. They're robarm.com, R-O-B-A-R-M.com. What it is it's a foul-designed gun, and it shoots in, they offer it in four different calibers, a 5.56, 6.8 SPC, I think 6.5 by 55, something like that, and then 7.62 by 39, which is the caliber I would look at for the gun. And, Guy, here's the thing is, I like the gun. It's ultimately functional. It is an excellent design. The thing is, when the fecal matter strikes the blower unit, if you have a gun which is quite unique and it goes down and there's none other to no others out there for parts or replacement, such as you would find with an AK or an SKS or an AR-15, then you're kind of on your own. So that might be good until it goes down or you run out of ammunition if it's something that's got a goofy ammunition like the 6.8 SPC. So anyhow, just a little tidbit, bits and pieces on that for my two cents. And real quick before the break, Roberta, Robbie, writes in. She says, Hi, Bill. I'm a great fan of your show. I'm hoping to attend the front sight school someday and simply can't decide whether for a revolver or a shotgun. My question at hand, many of my fellow Second Amendment rights friends swear that the government could never go door-to-door and confiscate guns. I say why not? I believe they could get away with it. They did it after Katrina, and the country didn't riot. Nobody can give me a definite, convincing answer why it could never happen. I believe the government will simply try to regulate us to death and won't be able to fight. Robbie, I completely agree. It's a bad deal, and they can do it. I'm afraid someday they may try. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443. Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
I'm going to do a riot today based on stupid people in this case, in the geographic area known as Arizona. Now, I'm not saying everyone in Arizona is stupid. What I'm going to talk about are some stupid people within Arizona, a very specific segment. Arizona has a bill known as Senate Bill 1113, 1113, passed by the Senate last week, went into the House this week, which would allow the carrying of concealed weapons by concealed weapons holders into bars and restaurants that serve alcohol. Now, pretty much 80% of the country, 39 out of 50 states, currently allow that. Arizona would be state number 40, bringing it up to 80% for those of you who are doing the math with me. A number of bar and restaurant owners are absolutely up in arms, believing, and let me quote this to you, "People realize alcohol and guns don't mix," said Al McCarthy, owner of Duke's Sports Bar and Grill in Scottsdale. And that's important because that is a place, if you're in Scottsdale, you don't want to go. He continues, "This is going back to the Wyatt Earp days of the Wild, Wild West." McCarthy, who has been in the restaurant industry for 18 years, insists that bars and restaurants were probably, insisted that bars and restaurants were probably, quote, "one of the safest commercial places in your neighborhoods. We're used to dealing with problem makers," he says. "We get rid of them." If passed, the legislation would allow people to carry guns in bars and restaurants that serve alcohol. If owners don't want guns on this property, they can post a sign. So here's this Al McCarthy. Says, "I will get the biggest, brightest sign I can get up the hour it passes if this does pass. I just pray that Governor Brewer uses good judgment. We are a tourist destination place. We need tourism. If she thinks that this is going to look better to tourists, I think these people are crazy." Okay. Again, this is a guy by the name of Al McCarthy. He's the owner of Duke's Sports Bar and Grill in Scottsdale. Those of you who enjoy guns and ever find yourself in the Scottsdale area, I would suggest, I would ask you to not go there, not spend your money with that guy. Here's the thing. Nevada happens to be the largest tourist destination state. The entire state, the economy of this state, absolutely depends on tourism. We're allowed not just to carry guns concealed in bars and restaurants. We're allowed to drink while we're packing, as long as we are not over 0.08, which is the same limit considered impaired to drive. It would be considered impaired to be rational enough to carry a gun. So if you are under 0.08, you can sit in a bar, packing concealed, having a drink, or have a beer, a glass of wine at dinner. Anything over a Boilermaker, I would suggest leaving the piece in the car. And now let's look at this, because this has been, these have been the laws in the state of Nevada since 1997. So we have 12 years of a track record. We do not have the Wild West or Wyatt Earp days. We certainly have a lot of tourism, more so than you're ever going to see in friggin' Scottsdale, we see in Vegas. And there's a lot of people who are out there packing concealed guns. They have CCWs and they pack. And we don't have this problem that you believe that you'll have. The other 38 states don't have that problem either. So that's why the riot of the day is against stupid people. Because the facts are out there. It shows, yes, there are 39 states that allow this. No, they don't have this problem. You believe that your state is so incredibly unique that the people who carry guns and would drink alcohol would be different? Really? The people who get concealed weapons permits and carry concealed are not looking for trouble. They're prepared for trouble if trouble were to find them. They are not the aggressors, they are not the criminals. The thing that drives me absolutely nuts is someone who owns a gun and does something absolutely criminal with it. They then try to wrap them up with all other gun owners, whether they're a legal gun owner or not. And if their political beliefs happen to be similar to the majority of gun owners, They wrap all of us up into one tidy little blanket. Let's take that old goofball who went and shot up the Holocaust Museum a couple weeks ago. The guy was 88 years old, had a 22 caliber rifle, not an inherently powerful gun. However, with the right shot placement, did unfortunately kill one of the guards there, which is the huge tragedy of this deal. A guard is dead from this guy's 22 long rifle. So, can it kill? Absolutely. We know that it does. The ATF couldn't trace the gun because it was so old. The guy who owned the gun, there was already a law that said he couldn't have it. They're now calling him a right-wing gun-owning extremist. So they're trying to wrap people like you and I up in this. You know, of the right-wing extremist memo that came out of DHS, I pretty much fall in line with all of that stuff. Do I own guns? As a matter of fact, I do happen to have a gun or two. And above that, I've actually trained on how to use them. Imagine that. It's like if I owned a sports car, I would know how to drive the wheels off the thing. If I owned a four-wheel drive, I would know how to get that thing places that other people otherwise would not be able to. And as a matter of fact, I'm proficient in both. I've owned all different types of vehicles, and I can drive the wheels off of every single one of them because I feel if I own a sports car, I don't want the thing idling and carboning up. I want to be able to run it. If I've got a four-wheel drive, which I always have at least one, I want to know how to drive that thing and get it into places and out of places others might not be able to with the same vehicle. I own a gun. I learn how to run the gun to within an inch of its life, of its ability. I learn how to run it sometimes if components on it are otherwise malfunctioning or broken, just to be able to lay down some shots if need be. So, to think that people are so irresponsible that they put on a gun and they're going to go get drunk and shoot up a bar or a restaurant is not just ignorant, because the information shows in the other 39 states of this union, that doesn't happen. So that makes you then stupid. By sheer definition of the word, if you were to look at it and show, oh, this really doesn't happen, okay, well, I'm cool with that. No, because the information's right there in front of your face. Maybe you're too dumb to look at it. But that just equals you, Al, as Al McCarthy, stupid. I'm sorry. You might not be stupid in life, but you're stupid on this matter. So you should do your best to go from stupid to maybe realize, you know, I might just be ignorant, and then actually look at this stuff, then make a decision. Look at the information. Look at the track record of people in the other 39 states that can carry and go in and be in a place where there's alcohol or even drink sometimes and see that this is not a problem. All right? That's what I ask you and the rest of these pansies in Arizona that don't like this idea to look at. Okay, Arizona's got a lot of good, solid, conservative gun-owning people. Now, they've got a lot of these goofballs, too, as every state does. Some have more goofballs than others. Sorry, guys, not a huge slam against the entire state, but I have to say it. Look at California. I know those of you who are conservative in California are hanging your head right now and saying, yeah, you're right. There's a bunch of us good, law-abiding, you know, right-wing, conservative sorts of people. But, yeah, we've got a bunch of stupid, ignorant, moronic liberals that unfortunately dictate a lot of what goes on in this state by putting their patsies into office. Yeah, you're right, Bill. Well, Arizona's largely conservative, very big gun population. It is an open carry state. They do have reciprocity with several other states for their concealed weapons permits. They are a gun community. They almost need to be, considering how many illegals they've got in that state that creates so much crime. You realize that both the car theft and kidnapping capitals of America per capita are in Arizona. The kidnappings head south of the border. So do all the car thefts. The main mall, the Tucson Mall in Tucson, Arizona, has historically, the last few years, had more stolen vehicles out of its parking lot than any other place in the entire United States. A vast majority are SUVs, and they head south of the border. A lot of kidnappings come out of Phoenix, Arizona, where there happens to be a big college town there in Tempe. So in that Phoenix area of Maricopa County, lots and lots of kidnappings. And lots of those people end up south of the border. So should you be armed in Arizona? You bet your butt. When I go to Arizona, I'm packing. Then I go, when I go just about anywhere, I'm packing. That's just the way I roll. So I'd also like to bring up another little thing that they're kind of up in arms about in Arizona, is there is another bill that's been introduced which would emulate the same law as in Alaska. Alaska has a law that says if you are legally allowed to own and possess a handgun, you can carry it. Exposed or concealed, doesn't matter to us. You can pack it. You don't have to have any special permit. Well, Arizona's looking at doing the same thing. If you can legally own a handgun and possess it, you can pack without a permit. The only issue I've got on this is the following. I like the idea. However, if you get a concealed weapons permit, there's usually at least some nominal amount of firearms training. The majority of it are the laws, but actually shooting the gun, very, very basic. But at least there's something. Now, I am a big proponent of having to have some form of training to pack. Now, I don't know that you need to have a permit, but you should otherwise have some form of training. It should be incumbent upon a reasonable and bright person to actually go out and get training before you decide to pack. And I don't mean shooting a soda can at 15 yards. I'm talking about training in the realm of how to shoot another human being to defend your life or that of another. If you're not dedicated enough to go get at least a couple solid days of training, at least 15, 16 hours of training in that realm, at very bare minimum, then it's my opinion you don't have any business carrying the gun. And going through a few hours of learning about laws and then maybe 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour on the range of actually shooting a gun with someone who's generally unqualified to teach you how to shoot the gun in most cases, then you're really under the false impression that you're prepared. You also need to continue the training through dry practice and occasionally hitting the range. So I just want to make that clear. That is how I feel about this when it comes to what's going on in Arizona. Now, I have something to address here. I get emails. You know how at the bottom of emails people have different legal notices or information they put? I got one that is literally four paragraphs. Let me give you just a tidbit of this. Legal confidentiality notice. This document, correspondence, etc., along with any attachments, is intended for the living solar entity recipient named above. If you are not the intended recipient, as specified by the sender, you are hereby notified that any disclosure, copying, distribution, or the taking of any action in relation to the content of the information contained herein is strictly prohibited, and you are commanded to destroy this document in its entirety and notify the sender immediately. Commanded, imagine. Access to this document by any other person or entity is unauthorized. All rights and remedies are reserved with prejudice under the laws of these 50 states, United States of America, and the proper jurisdictions of the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and Bill of Rights. I don't really know that the Declaration of Independence has any legal standing in the country. It was simply a formula to start the country. Anyhow, continuing, that was paragraph one. Note that the origin and destination of the travel of this private correspondence is in the majority done so on across these sovereign states of this union as constitutionally designated, where all governments, agencies, departments, offices, blah, 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 blah. This goes on for four solid paragraphs. There's a couple of sentences. Let's see. Where's the beginning of this long sentence? Here's a piece of it. Et cetera, and serve to subvert these laws for political and financial gain by preventing the lesser laws limited exclusively and specifically to Washington, D.C.'s territories and possessions is not tolerated. Note to all, your law declaration to be a felony at your 18 U.S.C. 1911 to declare one, a United States citizen, when not. There is no knowledge or record that blah, blah, blah. Four paragraphs of this. Guys, if you have this sort of legal notice at the bottom of your email that just comes automatically, do me a favor. Don't send me emails. That's just ridiculous. Whoever spent the time to pound out those four paragraphs, do you really think anybody's going to look at it and say, oh, well, I'm sorry. I am commanded to do something, therefore I must. At the penalty of what? At the penalty of nothing. Guys, if you can have a little sign-off tag, that's fine. But four paragraphs of absolute blathering nonsense? What a jackass you look like when you do that. Just either send me email from an email address that doesn't have that, or don't send me email. That's just stupid. I mean, it's now wasted my time like two or three times from reading this, and now wasting the time of all the listeners from having heard it. It's just getting to be redamned ridiculous, some of this stuff. Do you really think that the tagline on the bottom of your email address actually holds any covenances to legality or constitutional wherewithal at all within the court, blah, 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 blah? My God, get it together. That's just ridiculous. Stupid, ridiculous, all right? Okay, so from here, we've got a little bit of interesting information coming to you from some stuff that's going on around the country in the final segment coming up after this break. So stay tuned. This is Bill Carnes, your host, right here on RBN. The show is known as 2A Radio.
Gun control. Loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
So there's some nonsense going on in Washington, D.C. The way to get something done, especially when it comes to your guns historically, has been either legislatively or judicially. The other way to do this is to, through executive powers, influence one of the other. We have illegitimate President Barack Obama, who is doing his very best to appoint the most anti-gun people he can to different posts and pressing the Senate to confirm these people. We've got Sotomayor trying to get her convinced, confirmed is the word I'm looking for. Sorry for being a goof. Trying to get her confirmed to the Supreme Court. That's certainly going to put a vehemently anti-gun person on the Supreme Court. He's got his own chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel. Now, the chief of staff is the only person within the president's staff, within his cabinet, that does not need Senate confirmation. We also have the attorney general, Eric Holder. He was confirmed. We have the secretary of state, Hillary Rodham Clinton. She was confirmed. We have a lot of people under her that they're trying to confirm, such as the guy who is the former dean of Yale Law School that believes that the guns should be regulated internationally, not within the borders of America. They have some other goofball that they're trying to get into the State Department as well that Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader, is looking to have a vote on today to get into the State Department, who believes the same thing, that essentially the Constitution in its entirety should be completely wiped out, and we should go with more of a global, new world, one world government sort of affair, because everybody throughout the world should operate exactly the same, right? Is that what we're looking at? So this is a lot of the nonsense that's going on in D.C. We have Obama who said, I'm not going to take your handgun, shotgun, rifle. Of course, that was a lie. We know that was a lie. He's doing his very best to do it, if not directly, indirectly. And that's a sort of scuzzball, pathetic, sick, gnarly, disgusting, recallability sort of thing, as I look at it, that is absolutely just deplorable. I believe that a recall petition for Obama is in order, if nothing else, simply because of the czars, just because of the stealing of power on the executive front. So how do we start a recall process against Obama? Now, does that make me a right-wing extremist to bring it up on the airwaves? Perhaps it does. But I've got to tell you, the way the legislative branch, the way the executive branch, and the way the judicial branch and the illegal fourth arm of the government, known as the regulatory branch, operate, the way that they're looking is to get all of our guns and all of our rights. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. I would suggest that all of you get up and start to do something before all of our rights are eroded. Have a good day.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.